Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're taking a look at some of the stories students might be encountering on The Juice, that daily educational app. So this first story is kind of interesting. It's about a three-year-old girl in Israel named Ziv Nitzan.
Wow, 3 years old.
Yeah, so she was on like a family hike
okay.
and found a scarab beetle, and it turns out it's like 3,800 years old.
Well, how did she even know?
Well, she said it looked like it had teeth or something, so they took a look at it, and sure enough.
Little archaeologist.
You know, the Israel, what is it, Antiquities Authority?
IAA, yeah.
Yeah, they confirmed it was from like 1800 BCE.
Wow, so it was like a stone carving?
Yeah, like a stone carving of a scarab beetle, and apparently in ancient Egypt, the scarab was like a symbol of rebirth and renewal.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I guess British archaeologists had been working in the area in the late 1800s, and when they refilled the holes from their excavations, it basically like flipped the soil.
Oh, so it brought stuff that was buried further down up to the surface.
Yeah, exactly. So right. This thing that was, you know, thousands of years old ended up closer to the top.
Wow, that's pretty lucky.
Yeah, and the little girl got a certificate of appreciation, and they're going to send the scarab to a museum.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes if you look closely, you can find really interesting things.
Yeah, you never know what you might find just lying around.
Okay, so the next story is about college athletes and money.
Okay.
So there's this potential legal settlement that could completely change how college athletes are compensated.
Oh, really? So they might actually get paid.
Yeah. So this judge in California seems to be in favor of approving this settlement. It's for antitrust lawsuits against the NCAA.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
You know, the big conferences and all that. And it's a huge deal. Like, we could be talking billions of dollars.
Wow. Billions.
Yeah. So if it goes through, universities could start paying their division athletes directly as early as a 2025-26 academic year.
So like a salary on top of their scholarships?
Well, they're talking about revenue sharing payments. So each school could get like $20.5 million to distribute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, you know, for over 100 years, college sports has been based on this amateur model.
Right.
Where athletes couldn't get paid. So this would be like a
huge change,
like a complete shift.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just about the money. They're also considering things like limiting roster sizes, creating a separate organization to handle marketing deals, you know, the name, image, and likeness stuff.
Right, NIL.
Yeah, and there's even the possibility of back pay for athletes going all the way back to 2016.
For NIL, right?
Yeah, for not getting paid for their NIL rights.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I wonder how that's going to change things.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Like how it affects the balance between, you know, actually going to college for an education.
Right.
And, you know, just playing the sport.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on, we've got a story about social media.
Okay.
More specifically, Instagram and Facebook and like all the younger kids that are using them.
Right. I feel like that's a topic that just comes up.
All the time.
All the time, yeah.
So basically Meta, the company that owns those platforms, is like trying to tighten the reins a little bit.
Okay, good.
For younger users, especially when it comes to live streaming.
Okay, that makes sense.
So now anyone under 16 will need to get their parents' permission to go live.
Oh, wow. So that's new.
Yeah. And like the default settings for their accounts are going to be way more restrictive.
Oh, yeah.
So like even to turn off this feature that blurs images that might be inappropriate in direct messages.
Okay.
They'll need a parent to okay it.
So they're really trying to give parents more control.
Yeah. And, you know, it still says you have to be at least 13 to create an account. But
right.
Some parents and groups are saying this isn't enough.
Yeah, I can see that.
They want Meta to be more transparent about how their previous settings for teen accounts actually worked.
Like what the impact was.
Yeah. And this group called the Molly Rose Foundation, they're specifically asking for more information on how Meta's algorithms have changed.
Interesting.
So, you know, there are already some features for teen accounts, like daily time limits, blocking Instagram at certain times.
Right.
And parents being able to see what their kids are messaging.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're pushing for even more oversight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one, right? Because on the one hand, you want kids to be able to, you know, use these apps and connect with their friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But you also want to make sure that they're safe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tough balance.
All right. So moving on from the world of tech, we have a quote for today.
Oh, cool. I like quotes.
Yeah. So this one is from Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
I love him.
It says, It is not true that people stop pursuing dreams because they grow old. They grow old because they start pursuing dreams.
That is so good.
Yeah, so Gabriel Garcia Marquez was this really famous Colombian author. He lived from 1927 to 2014.
Yeah, he's known for magical realism, right?
Exactly, and he's most famous for his novel 100 Years of Solitude.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it came out in 1967, and it's considered like a masterpiece.
I should check that out.
Yeah, he's also written Love in the Time of Cholera.
Okay.
Chronicle of a Death Foretold. And The Autumn of the Patriarch.
Wow, he was prolific.
Yeah, and he won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1982.
That's amazing.
So, you know, his work often deals with themes of love, family politics,
wow,
Latin American society, all that stuff.
The human experience.
Yeah, and this quote about dreams, I mean, it's really powerful, right?
Yeah, it really makes you think.
Like, it's a good reminder to keep chasing those dreams no matter how old you are.
Absolutely.
So this next story is pretty wild. It's about scientists who have basically partially cloned dire wolves.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you heard that right. Dire wolves.
I thought those were extinct.
They are this company, Colossal Biosciences. They took fossil DNA from dire wolves and fused it with DNA from modern gray wolves.
So they're like bringing them back to life?
Well, not exactly. They've created three pups so far named Romulus, Remus, and Khaleesi.
Those are some pretty intense names.
Yeah, right. And they have some features that are similar to dire wolves, like pure white fur.
Cool.
They're about 20% bigger than gray wolves. They have bushier tails and this thick mane on their necks.
Wow, so they really look like dire wolves.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, they only used about 20 dire wolf genes in the process.
Oh, okay.
But the scientists are saying they're not trying to, like, reintroduce dire wolves into the wild or anything.
So what's the point?
Well, they want to perfect these techniques so they can be used to help conserve species that are endangered right now, like the red wolf.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of raising questions about the ethics of bringing back extinct animals.
Right. Like, what are the consequences?
Exactly. And what role science should play in all of it.
Yeah. It's definitely something to think about.
Okay. So the last story for today is about a Supreme Court ruling that's causing quite a bit of controversy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It has to do with immigration and the Trump administration's use of a really old law.
What law are we talking about?
It's called the Alien Enemies Act, and it dates all the way back to 1789.
Wow, that's old.
Yeah. So the Supreme Court has decided to allow the Trump administration to use this law to deport migrants.
Oh, wow.
But there's a catch. They also rule that anyone who's detained under this law has to have a court hearing.
Okay.
Within a reasonable time frame before they can be deported.
So there's some safeguards in place.
Yeah. But it was a close decision 5-4, and it overturns a lower court's ruling.
Oh, wow. So it was really divided.
Yeah. And it's important to note that this particular ruling didn't address the issue of Venezuelan gang members who were deported without any hearings.
Oh, okay.
So Trump is praising the decision, saying it's a win for border security. But some justices, including Justice Amy Coney Barrett and the liberal justices on the court,
right,
they're expressing concerns about due process.
Yeah. I mean, if people are being deported without a chance to even defend themselves.
Yeah.
That's pretty concerning.
And Justice Sotomayor, she even said in her dissenting opinion that she's worried about the administration's actions being a threat to the rule of law.
Wow.
But then on the other side, you have the ACLU who are saying that this reaffirmation of due process for detained migrants is a major victory.
So it's a really complex issue.
Yeah, it's really complicated. And it brings up all sorts of questions about immigration policy, due process,
right,
national security versus individual rights.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's kind of a whirlwind tour of what kids are reading about in the juice today. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to this overview of the juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.